Yeah.
Because usually in the line drives, that center spot where they face off gets a little hard out and busy.
Yeah.
So you can kind of dig down. It's fun to watch. So he was upset with his performance there. I don't know.
You're saying about field lacrosse. I've done some research, did research. I was looking, a fellow made an inquiry about 1906 in Toronto. And there was, they were getting like 10,000 people to a field lacrosse game over the island in 1906. And I was right up in the paper, people were complaining about the poor streetcar service to go to a game that I think was I think it's called Ramsden Park. Anyway, it's up in Rosedale area. Rosedale Park, I think it's called. And up there, they used to play field lacrosse. In fact, the first Man Cup game was played there.
Huh.
There's a bit of a story for you.
1910.
And there's a picture of I've seen a picture of that, and also I've been by the park, because I lived not too far from there one time, and you can, sure enough, there's the park.
Yeah.
You can see the old building is still there.
Gord, do any of your brothers have sons that have sons? Like have a grand...
Like playing lacrosse?
Well, maybe they're not old enough yet. Do any of your brothers have grandsons?
No.
No.
Oh, Jack had grandsons.
Yeah. Well, Jack.
Did any of them play?
No, none of them played sports at all.
Well, they played hockey. I know Kathy's boy.
That's right too.
But none of the boys, other than Jackson's the only one. Only grandson of that group. While Lloyd and Norm were never married.
Well, Jackson still plays lacrosse, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He likes it.
He's the top scorer for Aurelian the last 2 years.
Yeah.
He was on the top 10 in the whole league this year.
Yeah, he ended up being the only one of that group.
Did you ever, in your playing days, ever get in a fight with any of your brothers? While playing lacrosse?
No.
Did any two of them ever mix it up?
I don't recall any.
That's the clippings that Mom had of when he got quinsy, which is strep throat.
Yeah.
And he played. He had to go to the hospital or something, and he got out of the sick bed and played. I don't know what year that was.
What was the
clipping he had somewhere?
No
idea.
What was the clipping I had? I had a tough one on. Go ahead.
They were always in the Globe and Mail because my grandfather worked for the Globe and Mail. There was lots of connection there.
Yeah, the Globe was pretty good about summaries.
Yeah. He was... I'm not sure what his job was. It was definitely a connection with the
Golden Man. I thought he had a write-up here, but you got in 1937 or something like that, or you got in a big fight with somebody, you were both suspended. And I thought he had the article here. Do you remember getting in a...
That might be the one you gave me. But it's probably on the car.
Oh, okay.
In that envelope.
But, no, it wasn't in the envelope, but you got in a fight with somebody... And you were both suspended in 1937. I'm trying to remember who you had the big fight with. Or you didn't get too many fights, did you, Gord? You're just the ones you had to be.
1937.
Well, yeah. And you got in a fight with somebody in the game. It was right up in the Star. And you and somebody else got suspended for this fight because you... I guess you got pretty nasty or something like that. Did you get into many fights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember who it was against?
Donnie McPhail.
Was it Donnie McPhail?
No, he played with Donnie, though.
Yeah.
Not Donnie McPhail.
Yeah, he was pretty tough, wasn't he?
Who was that playing with then?
You're playing with Vimico. You're playing with Vimico, so you're playing against somebody. I don't know who it was. Hmm.
remember them.
Do you?
Because I used to go to those games. I'd be about five or so.
Yeah.
And I was always afraid he was going to get really hurt. They were tough games.
I thought maybe those articles I pulled out here, I thought was with this one, but you got too much on the table here.
Is it in one of these?
Wait a minute, I got right here. Here it is here. What was this one? June the 3rd.
You're holding that on me. This is a stat.
1939, in St. Catharines, you had a battle with... Whitaker, goalie George Whitaker of St. Catharines, guard Gary McCullough beat, asked why they were the ringleaders in the fight, which involved most of the both teams, and resulted in an all-time high of 95 minute penalties.
Yeah. What year was that, Bobby?
1939. At the beginning of this, St. Catharines and McCullough were tied at the top of the Ontario Lacrosse Association series today, after waging two battles this weekend, one of which assumed proportions of a riot. The association summoned three players to appear before the executive after police were called to settle disputes, which rose when the Mountaineers defeated the Man Cup holders 15-11 at the Mimico Bowl Tuesday. George Whitaker and Gordon Kerr.
Yeah.
Do you remember that battle?
Oh, yeah. After I get this on the Bible, you could record it on a tape recorder and let your dad hear it.
Yeah.
Bring it up sometime.
Yeah. You remember that battle then?
You should get your own show.
We had lots of battles over there.
Our own show.
Yeah.
We
will
watch that.
We don't get...
No. No, it's hilarious. It's they've got this guy who's just knows everything about sports in general. And so they'll have a panel of contestants. Stump the Schwab, and there'll be all these questions like name, I'll say all these Boston Red Sox players that did such and such, and they'll flash it up for us to see, and these guys are unbelievable, you know, and they'll just click through the names, and nobody ever beats the guy.
There are some pretty good guys that, know a lot about sports. I like playing sports trivia pursuit,
yeah.
But I always end up getting a football question.
We even had Al Smith. Remember Al Smith, the goalie?
Yeah.
Well, he was a teammate of mine in Mimico. And anyway, one year he put out a little lacrosse magazine, and they had a crossword puzzle at the back.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I got one or two of them, I think, at Homestuck.
Have you?
One with Hinkson on the cover.
Yeah.
And I had two. I don't know where the other one went.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be lacrosse
trivia.
Just like the hockey news.
Yeah.
You got any of those?
No, I don't think I did. No.
I think maybe I only got one left. You know what I did one summer? Was the year I had my heart attack. And I was laid off work that summer, and they were paying me anyway. But I had, in my closet, I had all these old programs, you know, Brooklyn Radman programs and stuff. It was about this big, and I was going to throw them out in the garbage. And then I thought, I put a thing on the fan forum saying, anyone interested in buying some old lacrosse magazine? I had two guys from New Jersey, and I bet I sold $2,000 worth of these old magazines, and I would package them, I said, hey, give me $40 for these. And after like a month or so, I'd start getting $200 checks, $300 checks. It lasted one whole summer. And it was garbage to me. I was going to throw it out. But then I got greedy and I started selling some stuff I didn't want to sell. Now I can't find those ones.
Well, there's a huge lacrosse trivia industry now,
yeah.
And it has been for a number of years. It's been a very popular thing, even before, it seems to be as popular as it is today as a sport.
Wasn't there another, you mentioned that set of cards that you had from way back.
There was a
more recent.
1992. I got a box, a wax box of them that aren't even open.
Oh, yeah?
There's 36 packs in the of eight in each one, and they're not opened up. The whole box I won't even unseal.
Yeah.
So I got a set of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're worth anything, though.
I don't know.
I never see them on eBay anymore. I got them on eBay. Mm-hmm. I only paid about $30 for them. For those 1910 lacrosse cards, they're my...
Oh.
They're my... That's my pride and joy.
How far back do baseball cards go,
Well, the most valuable card in the whole world is that Honus Wagner.
Yeah.
And I think that's 1907.
Uh-huh.
And it's supposed to be, I see things like up to $1 million, but I don't think it's worth $1 million.
I think Gretzky got one.
Gretzky had one.
Yeah.
I think he sold
they
one.
They said they trimmed the edges or something.
Yeah, well, that's what just happened to me 2 weeks ago. I needed some cash, eh? So I sold a set of 1947 Top Hockey and 1955 Top Hockey. But someone who I bought them, the Gordie Howe card was trimmed. I couldn't tell. Like, and I got this guy, he's the biggest card dealer in the world, I guess. It's like they had a thing in Mississauga last weekend. He takes them out of the thing, he just holds them together and he says, oh, good. Gordie Howe's been trimmed. Says you got an $1,800 card that's worth $200.
Mm-hmm.
And a Sawchuk card was trimmed too. So.
Why would they trim them?
Because to make them look nicer, they don't
oh,
have...
Oh, I see. Little edge.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So what you do is, what I'm doing with, I've got the one set of my cards, and I'm saving more of those old cards, because if you send them in, it's called PSA rating, and they put them in this, like it's in a, like a piece of plastic like this, can't be opened, and like they'll rate it, and they like these guys are like, you know, that's what they do for a living. They cards all the time. Like I know my new Saint Laurent's good. I got more coming in the mail right now because I took that $2,200. I spent $400 getting more lacrosse cards. That's all I do. I used to be an alcoholic, and I quit drinking.
A lot healthier.
So they rate them on
the scale up to 10.
Quality.
Yeah.
Overall quality.
Yeah, like certain cards. I've got a set of 1954-55 Parker's hockey that I won't sell because when I was a little kid, that would be the first pack of cards I ever opened.
Mm-hmm.
And not that they're not the same ones, but a Gordie Howe of that set did go like that was the highest one, went for $7,500. One card. Because some people got a lot of money and it's, you know, like, let's say you're a rock star or something, you got millions of dollars, and you enjoy stuff like that, so you don't care what you pay for.
I think what we used to do was we used to flip them
to
play games.
Yeah.
We had
and topsies.
Flip them onto our bicycle.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I had the complete set of the hockey from Beehive Corn Syrup.
Yeah.
I had all the neighbors in Mimico. My mother had all the neighbors that saved me all the covers from Crown Brand Corn Syrup. And then I used to ride out my bicycle to Port Credit to get it. Because you would get more that way, because they didn't have to charge the mailing charge or whatever it was. So
most of them are worth around $80 a piece now.
I know.
Are they cards or pictures? I don't know.
It's a big BI.
Yeah,
picture.
Yeah.
The
I have my whole room. God knows where those are. They were all around my desk.
You probably threw them out.
No, my mother threw them out.
I gave them to some other kid.
Yeah.
Some of that, you know. And the fact some of the ones I got, I think I got me the Archer Kenny Dixon because he just stood off the street from us.
Well, Mary had a whole set of those. Was it Power Sport or something like that? Or I don't know, but it was a set of hockey cards that she kept and gave them, and Duncan got a hold of them and lost them or something. Actually, he has quite a set. This is my brother-in-law. And he gave me a Frank Mahovlich card when he played for the Red Wings. And when they opened the Ram Arena in Orillia, Frank Mahovlich and Carl Brewer, that old-timer team, came up and played a game, and we met them. We had a little in with getting into a little banquet area. I got him to sign it. I don't think he was too happy signing that.
Who, Mahovlich?
Yeah. I mean, he was very nice. Mm-hmm. When we were talking earlier, and you know, I wasn't sure, should I do this or shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him to, and he did, but he didn't look thrilled.
Well, he might have thought you were one of these guys who just out for the money of doing it.
Well, maybe, but we had been introduced before, so he was at my Pee Wee hockey banquet.
Oh, yeah.
And he and Billy Harris came to our little Pee Wee hockey banquet when he was a rookie, his rookie year.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine that? I mean, this was a house league Pee Wee team.
Yeah. 57-58 season.
Yeah.
Played his first year.
Yeah.
And they weren't very friendly, were
they? Oh, they were pretty good. I
thought
it was
once they came and they weren't very friendly.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, we won the Juvenile Championship of Ontario, and they held some sort of a dinner, and Buck McDonald came to speak.
Yeah.
And that was a big thrill to meet Buck McDonald. Because he was, that was before he was a politician, too.
Yeah.
I think he became a politician after that.
Last year, United Way, Johnny Bauer came just across the road from where I live. And what do I have? I have a January 18th, 1958 Hockey News with Johnny Bauer on the cover, and they're talking about him. Is he still going to stay with Cleveland, or is he going up with the league? And so I took it over to him, and he, why are you getting this? And he starts reading it and looking at it, and he signed that something to the Whopper, and then you get another one where you pay $5, and it's just, a color picture of him. But I like that I got the hockey news of him.
Oh, yeah, and so he was signed it quite.
He was nice. Some of them, I remember once going to an Oshawa General game, and George Armstrong was there, and he was scouting, and he was sitting, like this, watching the game, and you could tell he was drinking, and I tried to go by him, and I says, excuse me, oh no, I know what I did, I asked him for his autograph, and he said, I'll cost you $5, but before he said that, he said something about, don't you know who I am? I'm George Armstrong. He was awful. And, there was a guy who was a hero when I was a kid.
Well, do you know who was really nice? It was Carl Brewer. And he was at that same thing. And I had a picture. This is really interesting, because Alan Eagleson presented a trophy. And he invited Carl Brewer out to present it to me. And so there's a picture of the three of us. Now, think of that. After all that they went through, Carl Brewer was sort of spearheaded that investigation.
Yeah.
And they got a real kick out of that picture. I got Carl Brewer to sign the back of it. But he was such a nice guy, and we met at this thing. And then, I don't know, an hour later, I was walking through a door or something and held the door for him, and he remembered my name and thank you, Graham. He was just
real gentleman.
Oh, real gentleman, yeah. And so well spoken. Remember how he was when he played?
Yeah, he was a tough guy.
And in that game, when they presented that trophy at the end of the game, I got hit in the mouth and had a tooth chipped. It was nothing, it wasn't sore or anything, but Carl Brewer, and he just was a big, sort of strong-looking guy, and he said, what happened to your tooth? So I got it knocked out in the first period.
Oh, God.
He was horrified. The funniest thing,
I remember seeing Eddie Shock at Eaton's, and his neck was as big as my shoulders.
Yeah.
A great big neck on him. I never seen that guy so big.
Yeah,
he was. Remember him fighting with John Ferguson?
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw Gloria Solving in IKEA.
Remember when he got...
Skull.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, how many stitches did he get that time?
I don't know, but he was scary looking after that.
Looked like Frankenstein.
I still think that was on purpose. I think they stepped on us. He was on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And they step right into his face. Philadelphia.
God's feet falling.
That was horrible.
One time we were playing, I played hockey for U of T and we went to McGill. And we were practicing and Dickie Duff and Bob Niven came and they were drunk. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so awesome.
I knew Bob Niven, I don't know if he's still there, I don't know if he was drinking, but a few years ago I saw him.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? I always remember that. It's always so disappointing.
Yeah.
Mind you, there wasn't many lacrosse games. We didn't go for a beer afterwards.
No.
Yeah, well, the difference between having a beer and getting...
Yeah, that's true.
Out of it. Dale Rolfe is a Gravenhurst guy, and he's a patient of my partner. He's a big drinker. He's been banned for life from old-timers hockey a number of years ago. You know, he'd be drinking and hack somebody over the head or something. Doug Harvey.
What was the guy? He owned the golf course up Penland Falls way. Defenseman for the Leafs. He was playing there, and I can see his face. He was an awful drunk too.
Kent Douglas? Oh.
No, it wasn't him. No.
Kent Douglas' son played for the Brooklyn Red Bulls one season. Yeah, I think it was 89. 1989.
When the lacrosse hockey players, I made a bit of a joke when Toronto beat the Ottawa Senators what 2 years in a row there in the playoffs. I said it was a lacrosse factory. You had Joe Neuendijk, and you had Neuendijk and Roberts, and I forget who else. It was not, I think it was one other player there.
Yeah,
but they were real good.
Neuendijk was a great lacrosse player.
Yeah.
He was I went and saw him in 86 when they played Whitby and played Esquimo. And the two gates, 86. Two gates were playing for Esquimo. And Joey was playing for Whitby. And between those three guys, they were like head and shoulders were better than everybody. But they were all equal. You know, mm-hmm. Like Joey was as good as the two gates were back then. But what was he going to do? You know, make a few million a year hockey or pay for, you know, get his gas paid for to play for the Redmen.
You knew that Jim Brown played
in the club. Yeah. I got his pictures on my website.
Yeah.
I always remember reading that years ago that of all the things he played, because he played a lot.
Yeah, football.
Lacrosse was his favorite.
Yeah. Do you know where he went to university?
Yeah.
Syracuse.
Yeah.
Oh, he'd be hard to stop, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I wonder if he ran full, like he walked around.
Yeah, it wasn't much celebrating of touchdowns when he scored, was it?
No.
Sort of
drop the ball.
Drag himself up from the ground and all
like he's going to be able to make it back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure the end.
I'm trying to remember the name of that mimical senior B team.
Haven't got a clue.
And you were with me when Gore told us that they were senior B, so we can tell the band.
What year was it?
1932.
See, if
first
you
year.
Remember at some point.
Yeah, Mimico, not Clippers.
Well, wouldn't even, if you told me, I wouldn't know.
Oh, I know, I heard it.
Yeah.
Arrows.
Hey?
Yeah. No, it's a real short name.
Yeah.
You know, four or five letters. Because why I remember it so well is because I was so excited because I had met Bobby about a year before that. And I'm reading this, and I read about this Granger playing for a Mimico. And I was so sure it was his dad. You know, like...
My dad would have been 34 at that point, 30 and 32.
Yeah.
He was a hockey player.
Your dad was born the same year as my grandfather. And when I get those old 1910 lacrosse cards, I look at them and I think these things, like my grandfather might have, you know, he'd be 12 years old, he might have collected, cards.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my dad played hockey, like he, my dad, and Gene Dopp, and Chuck Rowan, they all worked at Goodyear.
Yeah.
And and my dad played on the Goodyear hockey team with Gene Dopp in 1920. And that's part, that's why I got those all those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I only showed you about a quarter of what I got, or even less than that. I've got another 100 pictures like the, those hockey, those pictures from the telegram. And so I wrote a letter to, I found Gene Dopp's daughter's address, and she lived in Whitby, so I just wrote her note saying, you know, the, I have this picture up in my office at home, and it's got your dad and my dad in it together, and I wonder if you have a copy of that picture, and I sort of admired what your dad and my dad had done for lacrosse, for all the involvement all the years, and I just sent the note, it's just, you know, I thought you might like to hear from someone who admired them, and she phoned me back, like, the day she got the letter. And through the conversation, I asked her if she had any stuff of her dad. Because we heard it. It had all been thrown out. There was none of it available. Because
yeah.
What a treasure trove it would be. And she gave me scrapbooks and all these, two scrapbooks. One was all these pictures. The other one was is a scrapbook from mostly the 1937 team going west. If that's what most of the scrapbook about, the Gene Dopp and Andy Lytle from the Star traveled together in a train. Who was it played that for 37? I forget. They went west to play for the Man's Cup, and they played. I had to stop in Winnipeg and play a game there.
Probably St. Kitts.
Yeah. I don't know if it was St. Kitts or not. It may have been Mimico. I'm not sure. But anyway, this write up about Gene Dopp. So I end up with this great scrapbook and all these pictures. Mm. They've been just a lot of fun to look at. And I've got them, and I've got them on the CD.
Gene Dopp has spent his last years living in Brooklyn, and the guy that's my landlord, I live above his story. Lets me live there rent free. So I guess that's sort of landlord.